I think about, you know, this last week I mentioned a few times about Lent. You know, some people have done without chocolate or without social media or without different things to kind of acknowledge, say, hey, there's some brokenness in the world, that just our own sinfulness, our own reality, that we fall short, that there's things that we struggle with in that season that leads up to Easter. Just acknowledging that. I just think about even Good Friday as a celebrate. And I remember thinking, okay, I was here at the office and Leanne and I were talking. He's like, okay, 9 o'clock this morning, you know, 9 o'clock when Jesus got hung on the cross, all the way until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And we just prayed, just awareness of that reality that Jesus willingly suffered, willingly, you know, said it. And I just think about it as I read the story this week, and Jesus was offered, you know, wine mixed with to kind of ease the pain, and he refused that. He refused that, and I think that he did not want to diminish what he went through for us. Because we all know if we feel pain, some of us like want to medicate, man, give me the vitamin I, right? Ibuprofen, somebody pre-planned, if you're going to work in the yard or whatever, to plan ahead with Tylenol or whatever, ibuprofen. But Jesus said, you know what, I'm going to bear the full consequence of dying for you. And as we celebrate this morning, and I wake up and be able to see the sun rise over the mountain near our home, and to realize the sunrise that came with the life-giving, supernatural, you know, it was so amazing. Even though Jesus talked about it multiple times, says, I'm going to die, and on the third day I'm going to rise. You know, every time they just didn't hear it, you know, and I can relate because my wife says, we just talked about this. And I said, we did? She goes, yeah. And you said yes. And you responded this and such. And I can relate to these disciples where Jesus has told them multiple times, like, I'm going to die and I'm going to rise on the third day. And even as he rises, there's disbelief. The Lord honors those women that came and said, man, we want to treat him with respect and honor and wrap him. We're not sure how we're going to get this stone out of the way. And they show up. And Jesus has risen. He said, he's not here. He's not here. The challenge is we celebrate not only what Jesus saved us from, but be able to walk into the reality of what his resurrection, what he saved us to. You know, I think at Easter, I like to call it Resurrection Day. Resurrection, because it reminds me of why we celebrate it. We celebrate both the death and resurrection. I love how we had communion this Sunday to acknowledge that and why we're celebrating, why it's so important. And I think for me, another description, I like to call it Hope Day too. As I think about this death and resurrection, that the power of death and hell do not no longer hold fear for those who believe in Christ, because death is not the end. I just was reminded it was April 9th, 2020, when my mom passed away. It just happened. It was a Thursday. And guess what that Sunday was Easter. And I remember just as writing my message and how significant that was to me, that although my mom died, she loved the Lord, was faithful to the Lord. She knew where she was going. And because of that, I knew where I was. I knew she knew where she was going, that her death was as sad as it was. And the stuff that leaving, if you've been around, I've been around. I'm trying to think how many people I've been around with. Maybe 10 people close to in their dying breaths. It's ugly if you've been around it. It's sad. And it's just the sadness is there. But I remember thinking, oh, God, I'm so glad I have a hope that goes beyond this world, that in the midst of seeing somebody die, you could say this is not the end. I think, oh, thank you, Lord. You know, just even just the discouragements of other challenges that we have in life. As we talk about hope this morning, last week we talked about hope on the horizon. As we look forward to the cross, I want to talk again about hope this morning. A hope, as we describe it, is really a desire for something good in the future. We don't have it yet, but we look forward to that good thing that's going to happen. You know, whether it's a vacation or a great meal with friends or something you've worked really hard for, or acknowledgement graduating from school, getting a job, all those things that we hope for. God is the creator of hope. He's the one who established things that we don't have at all right now, but something that we get to look forward, something that's motivating, something that's attitude changing, something that drives us to walk through hard things, because what we see on the other side of it, it's a catalyst that changes how we live. Hope, hope. Hopelessness, on the other hand, is a detractor. People can't get out of bed who are hopeless. People can't go to work that are hopeless. People can't work through relationships that are hope because of their hopelessness. Hope. Julie Naris, an author of a book, A Princess to Hope, a source book for difficult times, describes kind of different aspects of hope. And I want to share this with you just as we think about the kind of hope that does impact our lives. But there's a better hope. There's a greater hope. She talks about an inborn hope. That's that hope that children are born with, right? Right out of the chute, they're hopeful. You tell them they're excited. It's like, is it tomorrow yet? You know, that's like 2 minutes later. You say, tomorrow we're going to do this tomorrow. Is it tomorrow yet? They're just filled with hope. They can't wait for those things. And then we realize, too, that even though they're inborn with that hope, we know circumstances happen. And parents maybe that don't, adults that hurt them and don't follow through with the hope of the things they promised them, that then over time they become hopeless. But in the beginning, we're all born with an inborn hope. And this is a reality of personalities that some of us naturally hope easily, right? And some people struggle to hope. And I think part of that is just personality and outlook on life. The second kind of hope that she describes is a chosen hope. This is a hope where a person may have cancer, and yet they're just like, you wouldn't even know it. I don't know if you go to visit them and you go away feeling good about life, and yet they're the one who are in the hospital on the precipice of something and possibly the end of their life, and the doctors say give a bleak view of what's going to happen and the possibility of any kind of treatment having any kind of effect, and yet they're hopeful. They've chosen against all odds to say, you know what, I'm going to hope that this treatment is going to be great, and I'm going to come out the other side. I'm going to have years left of my life to enjoy. Hey, that chosen kind of hope is impactful because it's really kind of an outlook on life. It's a chosen way to live. I love to be around those kind of people because in all kinds of circumstances, they're always looking for the best situation, the best outcome, even though experience may show otherwise. The third kind of hope is a borrowed hope. What do you mean by a borrowed hope? Well, that's those people who see in you hope when you don't see it yourself. They have confidence in who you are, and they get done talking to you, and you're like, well, I guess I can do this. I will go for it. You're borrowing their hope and impression of you and what they see for you. And you have a confidence that you borrow from them in you. The fourth kind of hope is what she calls a bargainer's hope. That's a hope, man, if I do this, then this will happen. And I think about it, as I think of bargainer's hope, is God, if you'll just get me out of this mess, I'll follow you for the rest of my life, or I'll do this, I'll stop doing this and I'll start doing this. That bargainer's hope is like, you're like, man, I'm in a mess, but if I do this, I'll exchange it for this. There's a hope that'll result in something good. And then number five is an unrealistic hope. This kind of hope belongs to teenagers. We're like, they think the impossible. They think that, you know what? I cannot study and get an A. It's like, I cannot go to school and get a great job. I can be Michael Jordan and be the next amazing basketball player. When we talk about unrealistic hope, it's possible, but not likely. That unrealistic hope. And then there's false hope. False hope is, we have this kind of versions of it might be like a promise of a return of an investment to you. If you just give me this much money, you'll get returned 100%. It would be the phone calls, the scams that happen. And it's so sad because I remember my mom was a victim of that before she passed away. She got older and really it's kind of become young, and her expectation and her skepticism was not as severe. And so what was being told her, she believed it. And it was a false hope that would result in something that's not realistic. And we see false hope in believing that a person is going to satisfy all our needs. If I could just marry this person, if I could just accomplish this, my life will be amazing. If I could just get this job, everything will be great. I'll have enough money to do this and that, and I'll feel valuable. False hope. She ends with what she calls mature hope. Mature hope is as a person with this kind of hope, they can wait. As we all know that part of things that are good require waiting sometimes. You can't just have it immediately. You have to go to work 2 weeks in a row to get a paycheck. You don't get the paycheck the first day you work. It's a mature hope. And she describes it, it's not based on a particular result or on a belief that everything is going to turn out well. It's a hope. It's an attitude that what you're doing in and of itself is meaningful. What you're choosing to do is worthwhile, regardless of what results. As I looked at all these kinds of hope, I did not see God's kind of hope. I added an eighth one. I'll add another chapter to her book. I call it God hope. God hope is a person who has the kind of hope that can wait. But unlike a mature hope, this God hope says, I know that what I'm doing has a result. I know because it's based on the belief that God's promises are true. God's promises will result in what I hope for. And in the end, no matter what happens, in the end, things will work out well. God hope is based on why I call this Hope Day. It's based for me on the death and resurrection of Jesus. Something that seems so impossible. Something that was promised in the Old Testament. You look at it. I shared last week about the word Messiah was not a word that was shared in the Old Testament, but one in the New Testament to describe the superhero that was going to come and rescue Israel. And they called him the Messiah. This Messiah would come, this hero come to make all things right. God hope. We see God hope in the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11. We see the faith of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Sarah and countless others walking out this faith in God's promises. Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 13, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what they had been promised. Since God planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. These Hall of Faithers, they got commended for what? They finished the race, even though they didn't get the prize at the end of their physical life. They ran through the end. I'm quite an exerciser. I don't know if you can tell, but I'm very fit. It's hard to tell with this shirt, but if I were to take my shirt off, you see my t-shirt, it would just be like, well, I won't describe it. But I walk on my three times a week. I call it a WOG because I walk as fast as I can, and part of it I jog. And I have my little app, and I keep track on my timer. And they tell you that you should not take the same path every day because it's not good for your mental. You'll end up getting into a rut, and your body won't know how to handle different things, and I ignore that. I do the same path every single day. And there's a place where I start to run, and I have to admit, where I start to run is downhill. There's something exciting and encouraging to me as I run, and I can go fast downhill. And then as I come down the hill, it has a little slope, and I run, and it seems way farther than I remember every time. And I run because I know that this section of running improves my split of my 3.5 miles for that mile. And I want to get it down as low as I can and see if I can beat my previous time. And there's a place that I go to. It has a bench and then a rail. And I've determined that I'm going to run through to that rail. Did you know that when I get close to that rail, I want to slow down? I get to it, and I tell myself, no, I am going to finish well. Through that last step, in fact, I try to picture 2 steps beyond that rail where I'm done, that I will run as fast as I can to pass that and then slow down to stop. As we think about that finishing, that kind of hope that these guys had, they said, regardless not receive, because they saw the reward that was beyond this world. They were hollow faithers because they didn't quit in that last lap. They followed and finished the race. They got commended for that because they knew the kingdom reality was a certainty, not of this world, but of the world to come. It's God hope. God hope in his promises. God hope requires faith. God hope requires faith. Hebrews 11:3, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. The certainty of God hope cannot be arrived by logic or by mathematical formula. It's why science will never be able to be satisfied with the answers it finds. Because God hope requires believing that the invisible is behind the visible. Until we embrace what we see, the reality, the beauty of what we see, the amazing creativity. I know I'm getting old, and I said this before, because I started appreciating flowers. I've decided that spring is like my new favorite season, because I see the blooms, the blossoms come out, and I'm terrible at remembering names. I looked at my wife to see if I could. Oh my gosh, there's daffodils and other D name flowers, dastardlies and despicables and dragonflies and some things. They're yellow, and they're really pretty, and they come up early. And some of you flower people know exactly what I'm talking about. They came up first, and they're amazing. And we have some tulips in our yard that are orange and white. And I go and take close-up pictures in them, and the little kid next door says, that dude's old. He's taking pictures of flowers. Close-ups of them. It's just amazing. Until we can embrace the visible, we can't embrace the invisible behind that. Who God is, what he created. We have to respond with confident faith in what we see. Otherwise, we can't move with confident expectation of what we don't see yet. In other words, we cannot have God hope until we are certain about the invisible God behind the visible. Believing God will often require us to abandon our earthly hope. It's a limitation. We have to realize that there is a hope that we're going to have to let go of to grab a hold of God's hope. The Apostle Paul described it like this as he described Abraham's life in Romans chapter 4, beginning with verse 18. He says, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it has been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. Do you see the two kinds of hope there? Abraham had to let go of his whole earthly hope that said, are you kidding me? And if I remember correctly, Sarah's 10 years younger. He married a younger woman. She's only 90. And he says, what's the likelihood of Sarah having a baby at 90 and me 100? What's the likelihood? And I would say boldly, zero. Nothing. Not going to happen. And yet, Abraham said, you know what? I'm going to have God hope. God made me this promise, and I don't know why, but he's waiting. He gave me this promise years ago, and he's still promising me. Why the heck hasn't happened yet? I know earthly why it hasn't happened. I don't understand why God hasn't delivered on that. But he still didn't lose hope. Against all earthly hope, Abraham believed God and engaged God hope. God hope is built on God's promises, not what we see. Because what we see is visible, and God is an invisible God who accomplishes things that we can't see. He accomplishes and finishes things around the corner that we don't have a view of. How much of your life and my life is lived if you don't receive what God promised before you die? What will you keep doing even if you don't see the result of it before you die? Are you certain enough about your hope, about your God hope, to live without results on this earth? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I see faith, the life of faith, that we grow in as we trust and understand God's word. I see that in the same way our hope grows, right? Those three things that remain, the three things that remain after everything is gone, with faith, hope, and love, that essential basic piece of our humanity, of our relationship with God. The more we believe God's word, the more that our hope will grow. The death and resurrection of Jesus is that realization of what was promised years before it happened. As we talked about, just that justice that's required. It's like, this is, sacrificing a lamb isn't going to handle it. They talk about, you know, that there's things you do that don't make it right. You can apologize to somebody till you're blue in the face, but it doesn't change what was done. There's still an injustice. There's a lack of trust. There's a hurt that remains. What the death of Jesus did was elimination. So it's like we celebrated this morning, a wiping clean of that slate of guilt and sin, those wrong things that we've done. That cleaning us as white as snow. Make things right and whole again. In our relationship with God. And the resurrection demonstrates God's power over death. The resurrection that God gave, right? The same power that raised Jesus from the death is the same power that what lives in us. The power of the Holy Spirit to bring death, life from death. I want to experience that life daily. I want to experience that joy daily. That's why we call this Hope Day. Why I call this Hope Day is like, I haven't arrived yet, but I'm still striving to finish the race well. God promises us a new life, a purposeful life, a redeemed life, an eternal life. That's why I continue to follow him. I can be confident that God's going to deliver, right? He who began a good work in you, we can be confident that he's going to complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. I was a little conscious yesterday. My wife and I went and picked up our goodies yesterday, and we had a conversation. We've been talking about ministry and the challenges of what we want to see happen here, and how they can be discouragement. And my wife and I are having just like a super intense conversation right here in the kitchen in the church. And I had to look to see if anybody was coming in. It just the reality is like we're striving. Say we believe God has called us to this place beyond where we are. And there's some flesh that gets in the way of that. And sometimes you don't even know what it is, but you're wrestling through and say, man, there's something not right here, but we believe God's got something right on the other side. So we're talking with each other. It's like, how do you see this? How do I see this? What do we want to see accomplished? What do you think is going to be a stepping stone? Why do I feel yucky about this? Why do I have this lump in my throat? Why do I feel still striving? Why? Because of the God hope we have. Believing that what we're doing, what we're pressing into, what we're pursuing, what we're putting aside, what we're making a priority, that God is going to reward it. God hope. God hope. God hope requires believing His word. We grow hope by knowing and believing what God's promised to us. I'm going to review some verses, and I'll try to read them slow because I think they're like super powerful. Just as I read them and prepared them, and then I read them again this morning, my hope increased. The first one comes from Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you are who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I think about this year, and some of this has been very stressful and difficult, and those circumstances that have come, that Jesus says, hey, bring, man, that stuff you're going through is heavy. Bring it to me. Bring it to me, and I'll give you rest. I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. How many want life? You want life? Jesus promises to give direction, to highlight those choices that we have, to give life. John 11:25, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. Doesn't that sound like a bunch of spiritual mumbo jumbo? Even though they live, even though they die, they'll live. Why? Because he's talking about, right, the invisible, what we can't see, to say this life is not it. God has a life that even though we physically die, even though we have to let dreams die, you'll live. God will give you life. And that's why I like Hope Day, when Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Talk about priorities. Talk about what's important and what isn't important. Trusting that God's got us covered. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's interesting, we tend to look for a certain kind of fruit. And God's got another kind of fruit that he wants to bear in our lives. But being confident as we maintain this relationship, you will bear fruit in these relationships, in these places in your life, in your character, in your hope, in your attitudes, in your perseverance. Jesus said to the people who believed in him in Luke 24:49, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teaching, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Free from other people's expectations, free from shame, free from never measuring up, free from not thinking you're good enough, free from works. The truth. Did you know that the truth is a person? Right? And Jesus will set you free. The truth will make you free. Let's see where we are. Okay, Luke. I think I did the wrong scripture there. John 8, 31, 32 was one I just read. This is Luke 24, 49. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. Jesus promised to give us His Spirit in us. The other name for the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of truth, an advocate. Teach these new disciples to obey all of the commands I have given you, and be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that I will always be with you. You will always be with me where I am. I am leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart, and the peace I give is the gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. John 14, 27. And then in Revelation, don't be afraid. I am the first and last. I am the living one. I died, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys to death and the grave. And finally, in Revelation 22, verse 12 and 13, look, I'm coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and Omega, the first and last, the beginning and the end. As we navigate hope, recognize all those things that Jesus said, I describe this God hope has a name. His name is Jesus. As we put our faith in Jesus, we get infused with that God hope. As we believe and know what God promised us, it changes our attitude. It helps us run through the end of the race, even though we don't see it happen the way we want to or have experienced it, knowing that what God promised will take place. I love this. 2 Corinthians 1:20, it's Paul summarizes it. All these promises, for no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken to us is spoken by us to the glory of God. I like amen. You know what amen means? You could say yes, or it means so be it. So it's kind of like Paul is saying, this is a yes in God. When we see all these promises, we can say in Christ they are accomplished. That's why the resurrection, the death and resurrection of Jesus is so important. It's like the fruition. It's like the culmination. It's like the realization of all those things that God has promised us. That's why I call this Hope Day. Because the resurrection makes those promises certain. God said, hey, watch this. I'm going to take my son. He's going to give it all for you. Give you forgiveness, give you cleansing, give you hope, and I'm going to raise him from the dead. You can be certain that my promises will come to pass, every single one of them. Reveal the certainty of God's promises in Jesus' death and resurrection. I want to share a video. It's called Hope, a spoken word by a man named Gerald. Listen with me.
Feels like you're hanging on to the end of your rope, and you feel like if you let go, you might not survive this fall. You recall the earlier days when you told yourself the struggle was just a phase. Now you look back 5, 10 years later, confused, dazed, because that same struggle has somehow shaped your identity, replacing God's grace. You try to force yourself to praise God while your soul would rather curse him to his face. My friend, on the days when it gets hard to breathe, please remember the truth and let it displace every lie that you believed. See, Paul said it like this: if the resurrection didn't happen, then we are to be pitied above all men. But I've got good news. The resurrection did happen, and now hope is living within. See, the Father turned his back on Jesus so he wouldn't have to turn his back on you. Jesus died and rose again, and he's in heaven right now praying for you. The Holy Spirit is more than a force. He's God living on the inside of you. And if that same Holy Spirit raised Christ from the dead, then he's more than able to get you through. No more idols. No more temporary saviors. No more trusting in man's ability when we serve a God who is so much greater. See, my faith is not in my hard work, my talent, or my ability to control. My faith isn't even in my faith. My faith is in Christ alone. So when you feel like you've lost hope and there's nothing left that you can do, remember you never lost hope, because hope found you.
Woo! I love that. What a great poem. What a great reality. What great truth. I love that. Hope found you. I mean, I tell you, if Jesus hadn't found me, I'd be a wreck. I would be a mess. I'm so thankful. When I think about hope, hope has a name, and his name is Jesus. How will you respond to God hope today? How will you respond to Jesus today? The one who gives life change, the one who gives redemption, the one who gives abundant life, the one who gives an eternal life, life beyond this world, the one who gives hope. I just pray. Easter is a great time to put your faith in Jesus. It's a great time, young or old, to say, you know what, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe that he lived. I believe that he died for my sins. I believe that God resurrected and that he will resurrect every single human being to life because of that power. The question is, what kind of life will he raise you to? Will he raise you to the blessing of relationship and kingdom? Or will he raise you to despair and everlasting torment? It's one of those things we have to accept. It's by God's promises we believe anything. We believe that what we do matters. We believe that God is real. We believe that he has good things in store for those people who love him and are called according to his purpose. It's not that we're in perfection, because we're all in process. We're all growing. We're all growing in our understanding of what that looks like. Just as like I talked about my wife and I having serious discussions about life and how we choose things. It was like, well, no, don't look at us. Look at Jesus. That's who we follow. He's the hope giver. He's the life changer. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you this morning. Lord, as we come and worship you, that we would be infused, that we would be flooded with a hope that goes beyond this world. Like the peace that you give, Lord, is not the kind of peace that comes from this world. It's a peace that comes from believing your promises. It's a peace that comes from your Holy Spirit landing on our souls, helping us work through the difficulties in life, and says that what you're doing is pleasing me. What you're doing will result in good things. Just trust me. Will you just believe me? Will you just be certain that what I called you to do leads to life? I just pray for our in the building, an online audience. If there's any of you today who haven't made that confession of faith, and maybe it's a return because maybe you've become hopeless. There's a lot to become hopeless about. Maybe it's hope for the first time, or a return to hope that Jesus has. I want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would know that there is a God who loves you. Know that your eternity is secure. Know that even if you don't experience that resolution before you die, that God's got the resolution for you on the other side. If you're here today in the building, if you're here online, I just invite you to acknowledge that, to say, Lord, that's me. Lord, that's me. I want to have that kind of hope that's not disturbed by this world. I want to kind of have the God hope that believes that even if I don't get the results that I want, that God, you will give them to me in eternity. Lord, I just thank you that you are the God of hope, that you are the God of resolution. Lord, that you are the God of reward and what matters. Lord, that you make things worthwhile. Lord, I pray that even as we acknowledge that people say, how in the world can you have that kind of faith? We could say it's not a faith that comes from me. It's because of who God is that I can have that kind of confidence. Lord, we come and celebrate the death and resurrection of Jesus because we need that kind of resurrection power in our lives, resurrection to our marriages, resurrection to our attitude, resurrection to our skepticism and our hopelessness. Thank you, Jesus, that you started Hope Day. In Jesus' name, amen.